What a presence, man. What a presence in this room. I love worship, as you know. I love being in His presence. It's just, I always get lost, saturated, and just like, how am I going to preach? I don't know. But good thing that my message today is going to follow up with what happened today. I'm going to speak, I don't know, about worship. And that's near and dear to my heart. That's who I am. That's a big part, the main part of my walk with God is worship. And it's gotten me to this far. The way I started, like before I was born in a Christian home. My dad was a music director of the church. And so I grew up, he would take me to practices, to choir practices. I would sit in the bass, you know, like there was a choir, and I would sing, I would sit in the bass, you know, where the bass, tenor, alto, sopranos. And I remember I would always sit on the left side where the bass guys were, you know, where the bass was the sound, voices. And I was always intrigued. I'm like, wow, this is so cool. Like singing and harmonizing. This is amazing. And as I grew up in a musical family. My dad was like musical, plays a bunch of instruments. And I always heard, I would say singing, worship, whatever you want to call it. But I never understood it. I never understood why God requires our singing. Why God requires like music and sounds and everything, because I grew up Baptist and, you know, there was just harmonies. There was no instruments, just harmonies. Can you imagine? Just voices. And when we moved to US, I've always loved singing. It's like in my home, always worship music or some secular beautiful melodies were playing. It was like I was surrounded by music. And as I was growing in God, I was like, I started asking questions. I'm like, Lord, what do you like? What do you want me to give to you? Do you want songs? Do you want prayer? What do you want? And as from Baptist, straight, like I always laugh about this, we took a deep dive into charismatic movement. It's like with Slavs, it's Baptist, it's they're like dry, like Baptist, not like here where you have like dancing and singing and just don't speak in tongues. In our culture, Slavic means you don't, there's no instruments, there's no dancing, just the word, which I loved. I loved the word. And so when we jumped into charismatic, it was early 90s. And I was like, what is this? So much noise, so much dancing. And again, I understood that later, that God was calling me somewhere, like pulling me somewhere. I didn't know where. And I was like, okay, I'm intrigued, Lord. This is interesting, because I loved singing. I loved music. And okay, I joined the band, and I was in worship basically all my life. But entrance, I know like a lot of Christians, a lot of people that go to church, they sing songs. That's how I was. They sing songs. But when you ask what is worship, they look puzzled. They're like, no, well, it's singing. Okay. Yes, but what is worship? Explain it to me. That was my question towards God. Lord, show me like what worship is. Explain to me, because I read the Psalms. Yes, David sang songs, but it was much deeper than that. Amen? It was much deeper than that. I'm like, Lord, I understand songs, but that's it. That's all I understand. Show me what is behind, what is beyond that, what is beyond just singing songs, what is just beyond melodies and instruments, where are you at, where are you, what leads to worship? Like, what? Where does worship lead? Okay, I'm singing songs, like during my worship time, when I'm, even when I was leading worship, because to me it was always like, in this area was always interesting, always, it fascinated me. I would lead worship, but I would just sing songs. And I would come out of my worship set a little empty, a little unsatisfied. And that's when, like, the Lord, I would say in 2007, where the Lord started really, like, pulling me deep into this worship, understanding what worship is. My topic today, I want to, like, I won't take a lot of your time. It's called Trajectory of Worship. I picked the biggest tongue twister. Yeah. What is a trajectory? It's the line. It's, you know, when they set a rocket somewhere, they put a set, like, direction, a curve where it needs to go. That's why I called my message Trajectory to Worship. What is worship? Why do we worship? Why do we need it? Good questions, right? Why? What is worship? Why do we worship? Not just, I'm going to make an emphasis today, not just songs. Why do we worship? Why do we need it? A lot of Christians don't really know what worship is and why they need it. Even in this house, so, like, new people that come, old school people love worship. I know you guys are just like from the first note key, like G minor. I guess we love G minor, especially our pastor. G minor hits, and I was like, we're like diving in. But a lot of people that come here, like, what are you doing? Why you take so long? What is going on? Eventually, if they stay, it kind of fall into it and they understand why we're crazy about it. And why do we need it? And what really is worship? Some people in churches, if you ask them they will always say, they will say worship is singing song, raising hands, and maybe dancing. If you're a non-denominational, charismatic church, dancing. But that's it. That's how I was. I remember they would ask, someone asked me, well, I was at some event, and I'm like, well, it's singing songs, and it's dancing maybe, raising hands, I'm worshiping Jesus. We know that worship is an important part of our daily walk with God. Amen? And I will explain. I'm getting to it. I'm walking slowly to my point. We know that worship is important. If you walk with God, if you're born again and you a Christian, you understand that, yes, at first, when I started my walk with God, like mature walk with God, it was enough for me to just sing songs. It was enough. I would come, especially if the church had uplifting songs, and I'm like, yes, God is good, He's faithful, and I would sing along, and I was just, you know, get excited. After a while, again, if you walk with God, it becomes unsatisfactory. Amen? You enjoy it, but it's not enough. And I love how God works with us. If you walk with God for a while, you know that He sometimes places something inside of us, a seed, I would say, of unsatisfaction. Just like, I don't know what's going on. I'm like, Lord, it's not enough. important not to blame the team that they're doing something wrong because I'm not getting anything anymore. It's important to look inside, like, Lord, what is going on with me? Why am I not satisfied? It's the Lord placing a seed inside of us of unsatisfaction. Sometimes we think it's the devil trying to do something with me, with us, but it's the Lord. It's the Lord. He wants to take us deeper. He wants to stretch us. That's what I love this word, trajectory of worship. Like, and this word, trajectory is, I mean, it's you're set. And you know, God, when you set, you know, when you set a rocket, what does it do? It flies. It doesn't stand still. So our relationship with God, same thing. We cannot stand still. From glory, from strength to strength, from glory to glory, we move forward. And to our final destination is beholding the face of God face to face. That's our trajectory, is the face of God. This why we were placed, and what worship is, what, why we were, like, we were created to worship. Amen. We know that we were created to worship. We either worship God, we either worship to self, we either worship to anything that we want to worship to, you know. That's who we are, because we were created like that. We were created when God created Adam and Eve. He created for, of course, he created them for fellowship. But I am 100% sure, how can you not worship your creator? When they saw his face, the face of God, like I'm like, God, I want to, like, I know you're taking us there. I know that what Adam saw, he saw the face of God. He saw God himself. In the Bible, we always read that no one can see his face. But that's why Jesus came. That's why he poured his blood, so we can behold God. That's so we can behold his face like Adam did. But we can only do that through worship, you guys. We can only do that through worship, through laying down our hearts, our heads, our everything, our lives, because he is our creator. He is the God of the universe. He is. And we can only do that through worship because we were created to worship God. Of course, it's a, you know, like sometimes it takes a while to get there, but we will get there. We will. Worship means to, even if you're singing songs, you guys, if you're just singing songs and you don't adore and you don't revere and you don't admire the one you're singing song to, you're just singing. As I said, in every stage of our walk with God, I love how God is. He does not discriminate. Anything you bring him, he will gladly take it. Anything. Some, I hear a lot, well, I have nothing to offer him. I have nothing to give to God. I'm like, what do you mean you have nothing to give to God? Literally, this was said to me. Because sometimes people hear how other people worship and they had a tough day or a week or a month or a year. And they think they have to prepare themselves in order to bring something to God. Because worship is like when we give, it's not when we take. Amen? And I'm like, what do you mean? You have nothing to give. You have yourself. Just lay down, just, here I am, Lord. Nothing, but he will find, you will see, you will find something that he's like, I want this. Yeah, worship means to adore, revere, and serve and admire. If in your worship time, if you're in your season that you're right now, when you're worshiping, when even if you're just singing songs, you don't adore, you don't revere or admire the Lord, I would encourage you to correct that. Because our lives were set to go from glory to glory, from strength to strength. It doesn't, sometimes we want everything in 1 year or everything in 1 week. I would say, I'm not going to say how old I am, but I was born in a Christian home. My parents, I went to church since I was a baby. And I will tell you this, I am still growing in God. And God, he still fascinates me. He still captivates me. I am definitely not bored. And I know I've not even begun to know who He is and to experience Him. Only at the beginning. Because if we just focus on, you know, I don't know, I'm not going to do it, or I'm not worthy enough. You know. Yeah. As I was maturing in Christ, I started feeling that something was missing in my walk with God. There was a longing inside me for more of Him that I couldn't shake it off. I started to be not satisfied with what I was doing. I remember, as I said, I was singing songs. Remember, we led worship. I was leading worship from we had four or five songs, one after another. And I'm like, and that's what I was like, what, the Lord was like, put this something inside me, this unsatisfaction. I'm like, I don't want to, why am I not sad? What is going on? Lord, I don't want to sing anymore. I don't want to do this. The Lord is like, wrong approach. It's like, why? Pay attention to why. Pay attention to why. And if any of you right now in your personal walk with God, you have this unsatisfaction or dissatisfaction with what you're doing right now, ask the Holy Spirit, why? Why do I feel this way? Why don't want to do this anymore. Why do I feel that I don't get any, I'm stuck, you know? That's how it was. I knew there was something more to this, to worship, to how I was leading worship. And I remember even this one worship leader really captivated my attention. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Spontaneous worship. I remember. I'm like, what is this? Yeah. And that kind of started paying attention to that. And there was something longing to go deeper. My deep was crying out to His deep. As Psalms 42:7, my deep need calls out to the deep kindness of Your love. The deep calls out to deep. Will we be satisfied, or will want something? Every time, Holy Spirit, each and every one of us, He pulls us. He woos us deeper. If you love God, if you walk with Him, He woos us. And you know sometimes where this dissatisfaction comes, and then if you don't listen, if you don't obey, if you don't start to go further, it will get worse. I tell you this. It will get worse. And then you, of course, first we blame everyone. It's the pastor, it's the church, it's the worship team, before we look at ourselves. I've learned. I did that. And then when it got so bad, I was like, okay, Lord, what is going on? What? This is not normal. This is not normal. I should not feel this way. I shouldn't feel this way. The Lord was like, look inside. And as I was spending more time with Him, he started showing me things, and I started seeing different ways, like researching what worship was. It's not just the monologue prayer. It's not just singing songs. It's more than that. It's not just a Sunday kind of life, which most of us live in. Sunday kind of life. Came to church, sang songs, listened to the awesome word, and going home. Worship, when God pulls us deep, you guys, you cannot. It's just once you tried the depth, once you've tried the taste of the deep, it's hard to come up. If once you gaze upon Jesus, once you get a taste of him, it's hard to let go. That's how it was for me. If we respond to this seed of unsatisfaction, just wait and see what he has in store and what is going to happen in our relationship with God. There is always growth, as I said. We cannot stand still. You can't. Trajectory. What does it mean? It's a path, progression, or course. That's why I named my topic Trajectory of Worship. We are on a path. Church, we are on a path to the throne room. We are on a path to see the face of God. This is what worship is. But we do this not just on Sundays. We know that, right? I know. Our church, you guys know that. But I want to reaffirm this, reconfirm this, stamp it once again, that it's not just a Sunday kind of life. It's not, you guys. Worship is our life. Worship the Lamb, Jesus, our God, is our lifestyle. Danny just tried this once. I do this all the time. I don't have any other music that goes into my ear besides worship. Besides worship. Because I understood how important it is to be consumed and to go deep and to stay there. Not to go deep and boop. Okay, what is going on over here? What is going on? And you know, like every depth, as you go deep, it's going to get harder and harder to go up. And if you go up, you know, like divers, I don't know who I watched just a little bit about diving. The deeper you go, your ears get your body, your pressure gets used to it. But there are certain depths that if you go and you quickly go up, you're done. You're done. You either have to stay there or slowly go up so you will not explode, so your lungs won't explode. But you know, our spirit can go as deep as, you know, deeper than any deepest ocean. That's how God is, and he's unmeasurable. His depth is unmeasurable. And he's inviting us to go deep into him, into worship, and to behold him. It's up to us, you guys. It's up to us. Do we want to go? Or are we satisfied on the surface level? Are we good? If you're good, that's awesome. But if you have this longing, if you have this ache on the inside of you to go deeper into God, do it. Throw yourself a challenge. ask Holy Spirit, what do I need to do to go deeper with you? What do I need to do for you to show me your face? What do I need to remove from my life? Some sort of a distraction or anything that pulls me away. Because He is our focus. I removed, because before I would just do 50-50 worship music, some secular music, just, you know, the love songs, general songs, nothing profane or anything bad. Just, you know, because I love music. I love the sound. I love beautiful music. And as I got deeper in my walk with God, Holy Spirit started saying to me, Lana, you need to let this go. You need to let this go. You need to let this go. I want you. I want your heart. I want you to praise me. I want you to sing to me. I want you to worship me. Our trajectory in worship is the Lamb, is Jesus. He is the focus of our worship, adoration, and reverence. Nothing else. We must come to this understanding. In the end, everything, guys, everything leads to Him. Everything. Everything. If we love Him, if we walk with Him, it leads to Him. Sometimes we focus on worship when we worship Him, when we surrender, but yet we don't want to because we want to focus on ourselves. But Lord, well, I had a tough week. It was hard for me. It was, it's just, your soul is just like overpowering you. I've been there. Your soul is just taking over. And I love what David said. What are you, like, he commanded his soul to be obedient to his spirit because he knew the importance of abiding above what we feel and what he felt. He knew who was worthy and he knew who deserved all the praise and all the honor and adoration. He knew. In the Old Testament, you guys, in the Old Testament, isn't like with what we have, it is powerful. I encourage you, to dive in into who God is. Worship means bowing to worship, to surrender. This is why we have Holy Spirit who reveals Jesus to us in worship or in intimate prayer time. The goal of the Holy Spirit is to reveal, is to bring us face to face with Him. I love this passage. Luke 4:8. Only one who is worthy of adoration. Therefore, worship only the Lord your God and love Him. I love this word, supremely. I love Passion Translation. It's just love Him supremely. We once we will do that, worship will come easy. It's going to be easy laying down ourselves before the Lord. It's going to be easy. It's not going to be challenging. It's not going to be scary. We're going to put ourselves last and we will put Him first. Because He's worthy, you guys. He's worthy. We've sang this today. He is worthy for what He has done. He proved His love. He is the King. Because He is worthy, you guys. He is. You're like, I don't care. Maybe some of you, I don't know what this is. For me, as I was drawing closer to God, I was wooed by the Holy Spirit to want to be with Him, to want to spend time with the Lord. And as I began to learn about His heart, learn about His nature, learn about what He loves and what He doesn't like, it's like being home. It's like being in the safest place that you can possibly be. You know, like when you, if you love, like if you have a home, if you have, like if you love coming home, multiply that. If like, you know, your safest place where you love to be, where you feel more secure and loved, multiply that. That's how His presence feels. And I know we know that, you guys. I know we're the church that loves His presence, loves His heart, loves to worship. But as I said, I want to confirm, to kind of stamp it once again, that our trajectory, our goal, our focus, our line where we're going, it's like our rocket. It's Jesus. It's throne room, you guys. It's the throne room. It's not just I come, even in your like daily prayer or when you come to church. Every time I come here, you guys, every time I either stay up here or I stay up there, I don't wait until the band will take me somewhere. I go there right away. I go and I stand at His feet because He is my goal. He is my focus. I don't wait. You know, before I was like, the band didn't do as good of a job. They should have prayed harder before, spend more time with the Lord. I could tell they didn't. You know, some of us are so smart. instruments were going all over the place and kind of distracting me from worship. Before even like, oh, the sound wasn't the greatest, and that's why I could not connect with the Lord. Now I come, I'm like, I don't care if the sound is horrible, if the singers don't find the right key and just go somewhere else, or anything. I'm like, Lord, I'm here to connect. I'm here to experience corporately. There's something with corporate worship. There's something that is in corporate worship when believers come together and worship the Lord together. It is something amazing. And it's, if we understand that and if we start to tap into it, pull on that, take from that, you will be shocked of what God is going to reveal to you. Because it's when two or three are gathered in my name, He's there. Not just He is, with angels, the heavenly host. They are like honey. They're like bees on the honey. Our worship is like, it's sweet, it's incense, and they love it. They are attracted to it. That's why sometimes in the corporate setting, like today, we worship and you can tangibly feel His presence. Like more intense sometimes, like some of you maybe feel it at home or at work because you're busy and you're trying. And that's why I encourage you, when we all get together and we bring our God with us, all of us, our experience, our worship together in one union, it's amazing. Like sometimes we see at conferences and even before, the glory just cannot not show up. The glory of God just cannot, it just exposes itself. Healing starts to happen, and miracles and just signs and some wonders starts to happen. It's worship. It's when we bow before, when we surrender before our King, we give Him what He is worthy of. Phases of worship. I'll go quickly. A call to worship. This initial stage invites us to focus on God, to enter His presence. Sometimes it involves a leader that invites us to worship. Sometimes we all jump in from a single melody or just an expectation for God's presence that pulls us in. Expectation that pulls us in. It's a call to worship. When we start, it's for me, as I said, I don't just wait. I don't wait. Like, I'm here, Lord. Here I am. And that's it. If you need a little encouragement, that's fine too. Second, it's engagement, is where we actively engage with God in worship through expressions of adoration and praise, where we are not just singing songs, we behold the one called Jesus. It's an engagement. I know we're not in a Baptist church. We're in a live church. We express our love. Amen. It's important. It's important. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. There's nothing that holds us, because we were created to be, engaged, to be expressive. Like, number three, it's expression. I love this. I will read this, and maybe, hopefully, maybe at the end we'll do something. I don't know. We'll see. I love this. I just love this. Expression. This phase or stage allows worshipers to express their emotions. You guys, it's very important to express emotions. It's very important. It brings freedom. It allows us to experience, because we're made of a spirit, soul, and body. And when all three aligned, it is amazing. It's explosive. To express their emotions and experiences through music, prayer, art, and other forms of artistic expression, it serves as a personal and corporate response to God's presence, expression. I love this Psalm 150, 1 through 6, through Passion Translation. It's just like, I was getting ready. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. What David wrote, what expression is. I want us to do this either next Sunday. I will read this again. And we will express our love, our adoration towards God. So, you know, like, I was, you know, in Slavic culture, it's hard to express emotions. We're very, like, scary looking, tough looking. Like, you're not going to break me. You're not going to make, no, I'm not going to break. I'm just going to stand here and love on the Lord inside. I'm going to express myself inside. I'm going to shout from the inside, like on the inside, not from the inside. And I know you want to. I know you want to. I remember it was like 2 years ago when I was preaching on worship again. And I invited a lot of people. I said, like, if you want to, like, break free and worship, I invite you to come up on stage and just dance your heart away. Just praise your heart away. I was shocked that almost everyone came up. Because when worship was, like, during worship, they just stand there. You just maybe clap, maybe, you know, just, and I could tell they want to. And God is just in the secret place, in the intimate place with God. That's where He, you know, like when you love someone, you, at first you're shy, but when you realize that that person loves you back, that's it. You're like, you want to hug when you're married, and kiss when you're married. But there's no, that you're not in restraint. You're not. You're like all over each other. That's how we are with the Lord. Yes, we love Him. But when we realize that He loves us even more, how am I gonna just stand still? How am I not gonna express my love and affections towards Him? I can't. I can't stand still. I can't. I will shout. I will sing. I will dance. I'll do anything, Lord, that pleases you, that anything that will, you know, just makes you see, or just so I know that you see, well, it's, I know that he does. Okay, Psalm 150, 1 through 6. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his holy sanctuary. Praise him in his stronghold in the sky. Praise him for his mighty miracles. Praise him for his magnificent greatness. Praise him with trumpets blasting. Praise him with the piano and guitar. Praise him with drums and dancing. Praise him with loud clashing of cymbals. Praise him on high sounding cymbals. Wow. Let everyone everywhere join in a crescendo of ecstatic praise to Yahweh. Ecstatic praise to Yahweh. This is how it is when it comes out of love towards our God. We can't stand still. We can't stay still. Number four is visitation. Here, worshipers anticipate and experience God's presence in a profound way. This stage emphasizes receptivity and openness to the Holy Spirit's movement. Holy Spirit is a very important person in our journey, learning what worship is. That's what Holy Spirit does. He teaches us. He shows us God's heart. He shows us the important things, and he removes things that not important. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord, I'm referring to the Holy Spirit, and whatever he is, Lord, there is freedom. He shows us what God loves. He removes every boundary and every limitation from our lives, and he focuses our attention on the Lord, on worshiping him. We cannot worship. We either worship to self, we worship to worship our problems, our jobs, our careers, anything, because we're created to worship. We either worship God, it means our attention, our soul, our mind, our body, everything belongs to him. We give it to him. We're laying down before him. Number five is surrender. Learning and on the path to seeing his face, to being with him, to at the being him being the end goal is surrender. Surrender our time, our life, our heart, everything for him. Before I was battling, I'm like, Lord, before I understood what worship really was, I was putting myself first, my needs, my desires first, and then the Lord. And as I was growing deeper with him, in him, I'm like, I don't need anything else. I don't need no one else. Lord, if all that I will have, I'm good. But I know, and if in this life I will have you, I'm good. I don't need anything else. I don't need to strive for anything else. If you will give it to me, great. If not, I will just be at your feet. I will just serve you. I will serve your people, and I'm good. Once you taste him, once you taste his goodness, his heart, family, he is amazing. He is amazing.
He wants all of us to experience Him. He wants all of us to go deep into Him, not just be on the surface level. And you know, like if you think you're deep, there is more. And if you think you went deep enough, there's more. And if you feel that kind of seed of unsatisfaction, it means He's calling you deeper, or He's taking you higher. I don't know. There's no end to the sky as well. Because as they say, sky's the limit. There's no limit. And that's why I love the Lord. I love His presence. That's all I need. That's all I need. I remember one time I was striving for this, striving for that, wanted this, wanted that. And I remember I was washing the floors at home, cleaning. Worship music was playing and I'm worshiping, singing. And I just like blasted. I got just covered by His presence while I was mopping floors on my hands and knees. And the Lord, and I didn't plan to say that. I wasn't expecting to say that. And I cried out as I was mopping the floor. I cried out, Lord, if I don't have nothing and I will just have You, it's enough for me. I'm good. I heard, I would say this, how I was longing to hear that from You. How I long to hear that from You. I heard His audible voice saying that to me. And back there, I just fell on my knees. And I couldn't mop the floor anymore. Like, oh, Lord. And that's it. And I could not mop the floor anymore. And from that moment on, family, my life has changed. My worship changed. My approach to God changed. Everything changed. Because we can be, we can love God, but we can also have like ambitions, which is fine. But at the end, when we walk with Him, I'm just telling you what's waiting for you. At the end, all you would want is Him. All you would want is just sit at His feet and worship Him alone. Singing to Him how good He is, how wonderful He is, how amazing He is, how beautiful He is, how kind He is, how faithful He is. And just behold Him. Just to behold. This is what worship is, when you forget yourself and you focus on Him. This is what true worship is. You don't check yours. Okay, I have to, Lord, but don't forget about, I want this. You know, right? You know? How I was with me, like, I love You, I worship You. Lord, you know, this I wanted, like. It's like, I know. you don't want to even think about it. It's like, this is so embarrassing. Like, for me, for you, it's fine. I'm talking about myself. Like, you grow, you move, you grow, and then you get to a point where like, what? I don't even want to mention anything to Him anymore. I don't even want to ask anything anymore. All I want is just be around Him, you know, like Mary sat at His feet. Martha was serving her heart away. But Mary understood this is what true worship is. When you just kneel and you just listen and you worship and you experience Him. That's what it is, you guys. This is what true worship, this is what, where we're on the path to. Like when we, who remembers when we had our church anniversary, when we, someone asked a question, and we answered that our goal is Him, is the Lord, and worship around the throne. This is our end goal of this house. This is what it is. is worshiping him, recognizing that he is the Lord, that he is the King, that he is worthy. And when we say these words, we don't just say it, we mean it, and we know the meaning of those words because we lived through them. We lived through it. Those words are alive and well in us, that he is worthy, that he is holy, that he is deserving, that he is kind, that he is good, that he is faithful. Those words, they resonate within us. We know what they mean. We don't just, you know. And we know, like, in the Bible, as they sing holy for eternity and they don't get tired. I've always wondered about that. I'm sure you did too. Probably heard many answers about that as well. Explanations. Is that when our God, I remember someone shared this, that when we get to heaven, we think, you know, like over here, we kind of have our brains, they have a limit, you know, like to like with the knowledge of this, of the earthly knowledge. But, and that's why we measure God through our brains to our, you know, this thing. And it's like, it's going to get boring. It's just, I don't know, because we have a limit. And sometimes if we don't understand something, we kind of like shut down and we don't want to hear it anymore. And he said one thing, that in heaven, when we're going to get there, why they always cry holy, and why they cast their crowns again and, you know, see, woof, fall, stand, fall, stand, fall, is because they're always at the beginning of worshiping, of seeing God. They're, oh my God. Can you imagine eternity? What does eternity mean? Without end. Our God is so insane. It's just those elders that cast their crowns, they've been doing that since the beginning of time, our time, and did beyond. And they still do it till this day, like probably right now, doing it. Because they see another angle of God. They're at the beginning. They're at the beginning. So will be. So that's how we are going to be. Always at the beginning. Always at the beginning of seeing. It's like we've, you know, this repeat. Because our God is just like so many facets to him. So many that we think, we're like, whoa, this is what he does. And then another, like, oh, this is what he does. And just like falling down before him and worshiping. But here on the earth, we can do the same thing. In the spirit, when we worship him in spirit and in truth, we can experience this over here. The same, what the 24 elders doing in heaven, we can do that here. That's why, as I said in the beginning, Adam walked with God. We can do that too. Through the blood of Christ, that's why the blood was shed, we can walk with Jesus. We can walk with the Lord and worship and receive from him, worship him. Surrender. Okay, my last couple of verses from the Bible, and we will end. If I can have keyboard, Diana, thank you. Oh, keyboard is okay. Keyboard. Romans 12:1, and then John 4. Romans 12:1. What is this? We're in heaven already. Yes. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? To surrender yourselves to God, to be his sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experience all that that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. John 4:23-24. From now on, worshiping the Father will not be a matter of the right place, but with the right heart. For God is a spirit, and He longs to have sincere worshipers who adore Him in the realm, in the spirit, and the truth. He is the spirit, and He is the truth. He is the word, the spoken word, the true living word. He is the God living in us, and He reveals Himself through His spirit. That's how we grow in Him. Let's all stand. Holy Spirit, keep revealing Jesus to us. Continue to reveal a true worship, what it means to those that long for You, to those that desire You above all else. Reveal to us the Father's heart. Woo us, pull us, tug us to sit at the feet of our Savior. This is what we were created to do, to behold our Jesus, our Savior. Holy Spirit, that's why You were sent here. To draw all men unto Him. That those who love Him will worship Him in spirit and in truth. You always point to Jesus. You always point to the Father, Holy Spirit. We ask You, lead us, traject us and ride straight into the throne room where we behold the One, where we behold our Creator, our Savior, where nothing else matters, where nothing else matters, where everything disappears, where everything fades away, where nothing else matters. We are spiritual beings. We are called to live also in the realm of the spirit. Our God is a spirit. He is calling us to be where He is. But through surrender, through laying down, there is only one way there. Holy Spirit, woo us, take, catapult us. Reveal Jesus to us in greater measure. Give Your people the real taste of what worship really is. Real taste of our Savior. We love You. We honor You. And we thank You that You're maturing us, You're growing us in the knowledge of who our God is and what He loves, what He thinks, and what He wants. Because it's not about us. It's not about us, family. As harsh as it sounds sometimes, it's not about us. We love You, Jesus. We honor Your presence. Lord. We praise you and we thank you for what you're doing and what you're gonna continue to do. So good. We love you. I encourage you, if you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit, this nudge on the inside of you, this, as I said, the seed of unsatisfaction, ask the Holy Spirit to woo you, to take you deeper. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to reveal his face, his nature, his heart. And we want to know. Amen. We want to know. What we want to experience. Because Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we adore you. We honor you in this room. We honor you. We are so thankful for you. We are so thankful for you, Holy Spirit. Just breathe him in. The breath of Yahweh. Breathe him in. Breathe in the breath of Yahweh. Our beautiful one. Oh, how wonderful you are, Jesus. How wonderful you are. I know that this side of eternity is only the beginning. It's only the beginning. I can't wait for eternity. I can't wait to behold, to love. Behold, not through the veil, but face to face with all the splendor and light. Yes, amen, amen, amen. He is wonderful, amen. He is glorious, our beautiful Jesus. Our beautiful Jesus. Oh, how we love him. Oh, how we love you, Jesus.